Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Now, many of you are still confused on why we are here in the first place. Perhaps our explanation on this was a bit vague, but it had to be made. So let me give you some details behind this. We had internal issues we felt we could not resolve. We felt the best path forward was to make a change for the organization, regardless if it was not a popular one. We did not take this lightly. As you can imagine, we gave this deep reflection and thought, but in the end, we had to make a change. Today is about Ollie. Our entire organization is excited about him getting this opportunity and being named the 51st manager of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, there you go. Mo clearing up a bunch of questions about the Mike Schilt dismissal, although he didn't really. Kevin Wheeler is with us this afternoon. How are you? We have a new manager.
I'm good. Yeah, that
for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Sequence confused me. I'm not going to lie. It's like, I know it's been vague, and we're going to clear it up by saying the exact same stuff we said last week. Yeah. Which was vague. But I think we understand the root of it, though, right? I mean, there's clearly... we've heard this a million times. There's clearly some kind of philosophical difference. It may be, we still don't know exactly what or how that difference was expressed. And honestly, at this point, it doesn't even matter. I mean, it's over.
Probably, but I mean, he has shifted. What happened today was a shift from philosophical differences to internal. What was the quote? Internal blah blah blah. Right.
There is an argument I'm sure about certain things, and guess who wins?
Well, the management,
the boss wins. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much how this works, right? In any, like, this is the thing. Before we get into Ollie Marmol, who is a great candidate, is everything that you would want in a prospective manager, except for the fact that he's not proven, right? I mean, the proven part, it's like betting on a prospect. You know, you like a prospect, they're very talented, but you still have to see if they can do it at the big league level. So that's what it is. I mean, Ollie Marmol is a top prospect when it comes to a manager, when it comes to the manager's job, and we'll see. We'll see if he's, you know, gonna sink or swim. We don't know that, but what I find to be just stunning and irritating in all of this is, number one, everybody tries to fit everything into their own agenda. You know, like, I don't like Mo, so this must be bad, or Mo did this bad thing, therefore all things he does are bad. And
I get so sick of that. I mean, look, yeah, John Mozeliak has made some mistakes, but the Mo bashing is so over the top.
Oh, and it's
on
fine.
This.
Look, it's fine, you know, on individual instances, right? If you want to say this was a bad move, like the Matt Carpenter extension was a bad move, cool, fine, go ahead. I mean, like, that's great. But this idea that bosses aren't bosses is ludicrous.
It is ludicrous.
I mean, we have a boss. If we go in a completely different direction than what our boss wants to, we're probably not going to stick around.
Right. And by the way, it's not just that boss. It's not just Mo. Ownership.
Well, I mean,
everybody.
Look,
there's all kinds of people there.
The CEO is literally Bill DeWitt Jr., right? And his second in command is John Mozeliak. and I'd say kind of co-second is Bill DeWitt the third, but they have separate, you know, responsibilities, right? Bill DeWitt the third is the business side. Mo is the baseball side.
By the way, I still think it's fascinating that Mike Gersh is nowhere in these discussions.
He's a GM. I mean, like, what people, like, again, this is another thing that people don't understand. What does Gersh even do? He does what general managers do in circumstances where the president of baseball operations is the big dog. It's the same setup that they had in Chicago with Theo Epstein. He was Mo, and Jed Hoyer was Gersh. And you look
Which is
around,
why no one knows the name Jed Hoyer.
Well, they exactly. do, and now he's the man in charge, though. But see, there's this phenomenon that's been happening in baseball for years now, which is called title inflation, right? So they give people bigger titles so that they can't interview for jobs in other places.
Oh.
So if you're a GM, they're not going to give you permission to interview for another GM job. You really the tradition in baseball is they'll allow it, but only if it's for a promotion.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the only jobs that, say, Mike Gersh could really interview for, unless the team wanted him to leave, would be a president of baseball operations, because he's a GM now. So this happens all over baseball. This has been going on for 10 years, and I don't know why people don't get that.
Okay, but let's bring it back here.
All right, let's get back
first
to
First of all, pronunciation. It's
Marmol.
How do you say it?
Marmol.
Marmol.
Emphasize the first half of the name. Marmol.
Okay, here's what he said.
Not many people get to manage. Definitely not for an organization like this. It's one thing to manage. It's another thing to manage for one of the most historic organizations, not only in all of baseball, but all of sports. And I'm truly looking forward to the accountability that comes with that and the responsibility of leading this staff and players to another championship. So thank you.
So he's only 35 years old. Are you even 35 yet, Klein?
It's weird that there's a manager that's younger than I am. And Coach Drink is just a year older than I am.
Right.
By the way,
get used to it.
Yeah, I know.
Because
I thought I had at least a few more years.
We don't get to go backwards is part of the problem.
But, you know, let's assess the selection. Right? Something you said right before I walked into the studio is baffling to me. Because they take action on everything in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're
mm-hmm.
saying that, and I like to bet, I wish I had known this, you're saying that Ali Marmol was not even in the top four of the choices that you were able to bet on, or it was there, but you could have made how much money?
Well, our esteemed executive sports producer, Ben Boyd, told me about this number, that if you had bet $50 in Vegas on Ali Marmol being the new manager of the Cardinals, you would have won $425.
Jeez.
Like that. That's
nice.
Well, because nobody knows his name. Stubby Clapp's name was mentioned, but
love him.
From the beginning, though, I think the Cardinals, you kind of heard it.
It was those two.
He was a camp. Yeah,
yeah, those two were the favorites. And then after that, the people that were outside that were thought of as candidates were people with Cardinals ties, guys like Skip Schumacher, who will be a manager in the major leagues at some point. I don't know if it's going to be now, but he's going to be a manager in the big leagues. And then Matt Holliday, his name come up. And Matt Holliday even mentioned he like reached out to the team to talk about some interest. And by the way, don't be surprised if you hear, and I know Derek Gould mentioned this in the Post-Dispatch, but don't be surprised if you hear Holliday as a potential candidate for the coaching staff, to take the spot that's open. He coaches at Oklahoma State now with his brother. His brother's the head coach. It's an interesting time because his kids are, you know, all getting to that point where they're making, like, they might be playing, they'll be playing college baseball here soon. They're good players and all that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, but it'll be somebody, I would think, that we're familiar with. I mean, that's just how it's going to go. We knew that from the beginning.
What's your assessment here? I mean, the bench coach is really kind of second in command to the skipper. Anyway, I know David Bell, who was the bench coach for the Cubs, and I think he come here for a little while, too?
Yeah, he was Cardinals bench coach.
He's
yeah.
the manager of the Cincinnati Reds right now, mm-hmm. so that's not an unusual ascension, if you will. No. What do you know about Ali?
So here's the thing, and I mentioned this earlier. Ali, as a manager, has been the equivalent for a number of years to a really highly thought of prospect as a player. He was drafted in the sixth round, so he was viewed as a good player coming out of the amateur ranks. As he put it today, he's like, after 3 years of hitting $190 in A-ball, I kind of realized I wasn't going to be playing in this game.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
That was Cusumano's question,
yeah,
too.
It was a great answer.
When did you realize? What is that point?
Well, I hit 190 for three straight years. But again, he's played the game professionally. He got right into the coaching after that. He was managing in his late 20s in the minors. He was a major league coach in 2017 for the first time. So do the math with me here. That was five seasons ago. So he's been in the major leagues as a coach since he was 31 years old. So he's been viewed as one of those managerial prospects for a long time. He's been and by the way, all of that started well before any of this. That started being noticed probably around 2016, 2017, and especially 2017 when he was brought to the big league staff at such a young age. So this is something that people have known for a long time. And it's not like he's not a candidate they just pulled out of their heads. You know, they didn't just say, well, he's here, so let's go this guy. He's been a guy that they've been developing in that way, in the same way they developed Mike Shildt and Stubby Clapp and others. So, you know, does that mean it's going to be a great hire? Well, no. I mean, there's no such thing as a known commodity until it's known, right? I mean, if you sit here today and say this hire is terrible and it's a disaster, you're full of it. And if you say that this is automatically great and they're going to go win the World Series, you're full of it. We don't have that information right now, but what we do have is a guy that's had a great reputation as a managerial prospect for a good number of years now, not just now because this is all happening.
Kevin, you said that we've viewed him as kind of that managerial prospect. Have other organizations around baseball kind of looked at him from afar and gone, oh, this guy has some potential?
I he's never been interviewed for like a managerial job outside of this, but of course it's because he's young. But yeah, there were baseball people outside of St. Louis that noted that. And it's not, again, it's not like, it's not the same as a young prospect player who's on the rankings and has statistics and, wow, that guy, you know, Nolan Gorman hit 20 home runs in AAA. Like, you know, it's not like that. But this is how managerial candidates become candidates. You know, this is how a lot of guys that you look around major, this is kind of like, this is, you know, you guys know AJ Hinch, who was the manager with the Astros, got fired after the cheating thing, and is back now. But that was his rep when he was a young player, was this guy, a younger guy, he's going to be a manager someday. It's the same thing with a lot of these guys that are getting jobs now.
Well, it's interesting. And again, I think this doesn't surprise me because I felt like just reading the tea leaves that they were going to stay within the organization.
Yeah, it's also everything they've done since La Russa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when they hired Mo, they hired from within. When they hired all of the, you know, when they brought these guys up to the big leagues to replace other guys, they hired from within. They prefer doing it that way.
Meantime, we have the Braves back in the World Series for the first time since, what, 99?
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to root for either of these teams, really, but I was glad to see the Dodgers maybe eliminated the
I mean, I think it's easy to root for the Braves.
Because of the cheaters.
Well, I mean, everybody's sick of Houston, Boston, and L.A., so.
This is a team that they have a fair amount in common with the 2011 Cardinals, don't they?
They do. There's a lot alike. I mean,
yeah.
August 1st, they were three games under .500, the Braves.
Right.
You know, this is a team that had a lot of injuries. I mean, they lost Marcell Ozuna first to an injury and then to the assault allegations, the domestic abuse allegations. They lost one of the best players in the game, Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, there may be two or three other players in the world at his talent level. And, you know, they overcame it. They went out and made some relatively, I wouldn't say minor moves, but like complementary moves, right? They grabbed all these outfield bats that do different things, and none of them are big stars, but they've all been big helps.
I listened on my way home because you told me that Chip Carey was on. I heard you on the game of the night of the elimination game the other night, and it was great to hear some background from fellow Parkway West alum Chip Carey. But yeah, their story is kind of amazing. It's a bit storybook if this is the Cinderella, you know, kind of waiting to put on the slippers. So we'll see what happens. I'm a baseball guy, as you know. I'm going to watch the World Series just the way it is.
You should.
Kevin, I appreciate you coming
in here
with perspective.
By the way, Chip said to say hi on the air. And then off the air, he told me to hit you. So I'm going to come over there and get you when we're done.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
No, he didn't do that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, he was, you know, we knew each other pretty well back in the day. But what's funny about that is, I mean, I knew who his dad was, knew who his grandpa was. I never knew, like when we were in high school, I never knew that he was going to be a broadcaster. I guess I would have assumed it. But I was working already at that young of age at that little YMCA station. So we've had quite a few people come out of that little Parkway West and go on to great things. Not me, but
it's
other
so fortunate
people.
That you guys all happen to live in the same school district.
All right, Wheeler, I've had enough.
See you, buddy.
See you. 320 at 97.1 FM Talk. We got a lot. We kind of got thrown off here just because of the announcement from the Cardinals. I do have a lot to get to here this afternoon. My buddy Bernie Goldberg, who spent many years on Real Sports on HBO, of course, CBS News, wrote a book 20-something years ago about media bias, which certainly still holds today. So I don't know if, Sue, I'd be very curious to see what your position is on that. Did you try to watch the Sunday night football game last night, Sue?
No.
Yeah, I figured. But if you would have, Dave, did you try to watch the Sunday night football game last night?
I attempted to, saw that the they went to weather stuff, and so I found
okay.
other
so
programs.
So Dave Murray is not feeling well today, so I've invited Cindy Pressler, of course, longtime weather forecaster. She's at Fox 4 in Fort Myers, Florida. Good for her, by the way. But I wanted to get an outsider, because I can't have someone current on the air, because, you know, they may say something. But here's my question, Sue.
Okay.
Weather's
I love
important.
A weather question.
Well, weather's very important, and I've certainly been involved in news radio for a long time getting people information. However, it's 2021, almost 2022, and we used to read every school district on the air, too, back in the day, right? So now this is personal because I wanted to watch football, but it's also a question. If you have weather tornadoes, and it was pretty bad in St. Mary, right? I mean, I saw some pictures. But that's 90 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Do they have St. Louis TV stations down there? That's a serious question. I don't know. Okay.
Yes.
So if they're down there in St. Jean or that area, they're watching Channel 5.
Yes, if they have the equipment to do so. But yes, we are the ones who cover that area.
Okay.
I was trying to watch Bob's Burgers.
Were they interrupting that too?
Yeah.
Okay,
that
so
stinks.
Same principle,
yeah.
Sue.
Yeah. So
I didn't realize all the.
I feel it.
I was watching Templeton on Channel 4, and at one point, and I think they came back to it, but at one point, they were going back into 60 Minutes. It was actually a really interesting story last night, although I don't trust a lick of it because you can't trust 60 Minutes, but it was about the water shortage out west.
Ooh.
So he would cut in and goes, now we're going back to 60 Minutes, and then if there's future. You know, things that happen, you have your weather app or you have your weather radio or whatever it is. I don't know. We'll talk to Cindy about that a little bit later.
Love
here this
storm
afternoon.
Mode. Like when the jacket comes off, the sleeves go up, they loosen the tie, they are going to storm mode.
We have the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Eric Schmidt. He went down to the border. The taxpayers paid for that, so the Post is hitting him on that. We'll find out what he saw down there. Cusimano's coming up. You got that great question in with Ali Marmol today. Is there civil or criminal liability in the Alec Baldwin, you know, shooting on the set of Russ? Interesting details on that today, and a whole bunch more, including an audio cut of the day sponsored by The Sound Room. We're off and running here. It's a Monday edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, we got Sue's News coming up after 4 o'clock. Update on some of the stuff going on with the set of Rust and Alec Baldwin. Some interesting audio this afternoon that I've located from the young woman, 24 years old, who is the armorer, who is in charge of the guns.
Yeah.
And something that she sent on a podcast
from
a month ago. So we'll get to that. Right now, though, let's welcome back my good buddy, Bernard Goldberg. Bernie has written about media, been in the media for a long time, wrote a book called Bias. You can find him at BernardGoldberg.com these days. Bernie, how are you?
I'm just fine. But, you know, as I said in my most recent column, that I have a confession to make, Mark. I'm hopelessly old-fashioned. I'm behind the curve. I apologize to the people listening to us right now, but I thought only women could get pregnant. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel the same thing. I feel like I have to apologize to people because I was under that impression as well. Dave Chappelle is under that impression as well. But apparently we are told that that is not the case, Bernie. So we have to adjust our feelings on all these things.
It is not the case, and we should be more open-minded. And let me give you some examples. Again, I apologize for thinking only women could get pregnant. The people at the ACLU, you know, they live in lefty land, and they took a Ruth Bader Ginsburg quote in which she said the decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a woman's life. Well, the ACLU didn't find that contemporary enough. So they said, they tweeted, the decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, not a woman's life, a person's life. In September of this year, the House Democrats introduced a bill that states that its purpose is to protect a person's ability to determine whether to continue or end the pregnancy. A person's, right? Now, they explain what they mean by that. They say this act is intended to protect all people with the capacity for pregnancy, cisgender women, transgender men, non-binary individuals. Now, I'm not saying I disagree with that. I'm saying I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right, exactly. There you go. That's a good way to put it. I'm not going to disagree with that, but what in the world are you talking about, right?
Well, okay, cisgender women. I'm learning all this stuff because I was behind the curve, but I'm trying to keep an open mind. Cisgender women are women who were born female.
Right. And I think maybe heterosexual too, right? Or does that, maybe that doesn't matter if you're heterosexual.
No, that doesn't, doesn't matter.
Just if you're born a woman.
So you, Mark, at least the best I know.
Cisgender male.
Or a cisgender man.
Yes.
You were born a man, right?
I was. I'm still, okay. I still am a man, believe it or not.
Well, the jury's out on that.
All right. Fair enough.
No. The House bill says that the act is intended to protect all people with the capacity for pregnancy, which includes cisgender women. That means women who were born female, transgender men. Now, that's interesting. So, in other words, if you were born female and transgendered over to become a transgender man, then somehow you're capable of having a baby anyway, okay? I have a headache, Mark. I'm getting a headache talking about this.
Yes.
By the way, I'm all for civil rights, women's rights, men's rights. I'm for transgender rights. I want to make that very clear. But now we find out that transgender men, a woman who transitioned to become a man, is also capable of having a baby, okay? And this includes non-binary individuals, which means you don't identify as a man or a woman. Okay, I can't take it.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
I can't take much more. Center for Disease Control and Prevention said that they want everyone to know that COVID vaccines are safe for pregnant people. Pregnant people, not pregnant women, not only pregnant women, but pregnant people. And here's my favorite. The White House, they put out their 2022 fiscal year budget, but they didn't use the word mothers. They referred to birthing
people.
Now, there's even, and I checked this out because I take your show very seriously and I want to check things out. There is a website for Birthing People's Bill of Rights. Birthing People's Bill of Rights.
I was unaware.
Why am I so ignorant of these things? How come I didn't know any of this until I started researching it?
I did not know. It's the Birthing People's Bill of Rights, and there's actually a COVID edition as well. So all these things, I'm going to have to look this up because I was not aware of that. And that deals with some of the issues when it comes to non-binary and transgender folks?
Yeah, and that's what you have to, this is what it comes down to. You think, because I like you, Mark, but you're just not cool enough, and I certainly am not cool enough, we thought that only women could get pregnant.
Yeah,
that's
we were
what we
wrong.
Thought, right?
We were wrong about that.
No,
right?
No, we were old fashioned. We were behind the curve. And I, for one, am apologizing to everybody driving their car or at home right now listening to us, because I guess I should have known that it's not only women who can get pregnant. It's people, just people in general can get pregnant. But listen, Mark, I'm a pathetic cisgender male. So what the hell do I know?
I don't know much at all. Did you see, by the way, Bernie Goldberg? You can find all of his columns at BernardGoldberg.com. Did you see, I think this is an interesting aspect of this, Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana and what big tech did to him?
No, tell me.
Okay, so this is a very interesting thing. Twitter locked this guy's account because they deemed what he said as hateful. The headline in the Washington Post right now is Representative Jim Banks intentionally misgendered a high-ranking trans official. Twitter locked his account. This has to do with Rachel Levine, who is the first openly transgender four-star officer. And he sent out a couple of tweets reacting to the news. And in one of the tweets, this is what he said. This is apparently what got him into trouble. Calling someone that was born and lived as a man for 54 years the first female four-star officer is an insult to every little girl who dreams of breaking glass ceilings one day. I tend to agree with that. Now, I might be yanked from the airwaves for saying that, but that is the hateful language that got him pulled off of Twitter. Can you believe that?
I want to be clear, and I think I know I'm speaking for myself, but I think I'm probably speaking for you and other reasonable people. I have nothing against transgender people.
Of course not.
I mean, if you're a man and you're uncomfortable being a man and you want to become a woman or the other way around, that's your call. I'm very much against it when we're talking about young children, even teenage girls. And there was a book written about that, about teenage girls, because it becomes fashionable. You know, they hear that, well, I don't really feel as if I'm a girl. I want to get the hormones and become a boy. No, I'm against that. But if some 40-year-old is uncomfortable in his or her body and wants to transition, fine. But let's not get too crazy about this. If you refer to Rachel Levine, if you say he, oh, I'm sorry, I meant she, come on, we're all human.
It's ridiculous. It really is. Now, you know what? Along the lines of what you were just saying, this is interesting, too. And it gets into the weeds a little bit, and I haven't spent a lot of time on it. But I know that you're doing some stuff with Barry Weiss on Substack. So there's a woman named Abigail Schreier who wrote a piece a few weeks ago. The headline was Top Trans Doctor Blows the Whistle on Sloppy Care. And these were two prominent providers of this transgender surgery who were sounding off on some of the things that are happening along the lines with kids, like you were talking about, puberty blockers and things along those lines. Now they're expressing concern that some of these things maybe should not have happened, because they at one point had said it's perfectly safe to give kids even as young as 9 puberty blockers, and, you know, saying that those were fully reversible. Now they're giving pause to that. Now, you won't hear a lot of mainstream coverage of that, will you?
No, Abigail Shire's book is the one that I was making reference to. And she, the ACLU lawyer in charge of transgender issues said, and then later said he was only joking, but I doubt he was joking, said he didn't even want that book circulated. Now, this is the ACLU that stands for all sorts of freedoms of speech and, you know, and First Amendment rights and all that. Here's the ACLU lawyer not only saying I don't like what the author says in this book about teenage girls and people as young as 9 years old getting transgender blockers, which I'm against too, by the way, but he said, until he pulled it back, he said he's in favor of that book not being circulated. Come on. Is that what we've come to? You can't disagree with somebody who makes a point about transgender people or transgender children who think they want to transition? A young child should have no right to say, I'm uncomfortable being a girl, I want to be a boy. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. They can say that. They can have discussions with their parents and their doctors, but they should not be allowed to transition at that age, in my opinion. If you're 30, if you're 40, if you're 21 and you want to transition, God bless you.
Yeah, that's sure.
The best.
Well, those are completely different circumstances. There's no doubt about that. Bernie Goldberg, have you watched, I spent a lot of time on this last week, have you watched the Chappelle special?
I did.
It's good. It was good,
and
wasn't it?
I got to be honest with you. I watched it, and I didn't think he said anything that was outrageous.
No, because he didn't.
I just didn't think he said anything that was outrageous. But here's what I learned. You know, I was on Real Sports on HBO for 22 years until I quit this year because it got too political. But I had, in 22 years, I had one story spiked, meaning it was ready to go, and they pulled it. And it was a story on transgender athletes. The story was green-lighted. It was okay. It was watched by Gumbel before it went on the air, and Brian Gumbel, the host of the show, and he approved it. It was watched and approved by the executive producer of the show. When just before the show went on the air, the day before, we got an email from a woman, a young woman who had been born a boy, and she said, "I changed my mind. I don't want you to run the story." And they yanked the story. They pulled it. They wouldn't run it because they were afraid of the kind of reaction they would get.
Wow. You've never told me that story. That's very interesting.
Yeah, right. And here's what else I said. I said to them, 17-year-old boys stormed the beaches at Normandy and had machine gun bullets being fired at them. They were courageous enough to do that. And we're not courageous enough to run a story that you guys approved of. There was not one thing wrong with that piece. It was as fair a piece as I've done in my entire career. And you guys don't have the courage to run a piece because the transgender community decided they don't want you to run it. That's cowardice.
That is cowardice, and that is even shocking to me because I've heard a lot of your stories. I know how that ended. We talked about the last time with Real Sports, but really that is unfortunate. And, you know, that sort of you referred to what happened with the ACLU, but I know you have to have an opinion of Katie Couric saying in her book that she tried to protect Ginsburg by not releasing the entire quote from a few years ago.
Well, needless to say, that's inexcusable. That's the wrong decision. But here's what I would say to Katie Couric. Would you have done that if it was a conservative who said something?
Of course not.
That, you know, of course not is right. She's protecting Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but she's also protecting progressives in general. She doesn't want somebody with Ruth Bader Ginsburg's stature saying, "I think what Colin Kaepernick did was wrong." Now, if she said, "I think what Colin Kaepernick, the football player who took a knee, I think what he did was right," she wouldn't have edited that out. What she did was wrong. There's no two ways about it. There are two ways about all sorts of things. Reasonable people can agree and disagree about all sorts of things. But I've been a journalist for a very long time. And this was just plain wrong, what she did.
Absolutely. Bernard Goldberg. You can find his work at bernardgoldberg.com. Always great to have you on, Bernie. I love the comment. You're also doing stuff with Barry at Substack. I'm a little confused by that. Is that true?
Yeah, not you mean Barry White?
Yeah.
No, she has nothing to do with it. But my work appears on Substack also. And Patreon and BernardGoldberg.com. But here's what I'd like to say to you, the people listening to us. You can get a million different websites and people who write columns and say the kinds of things that I'm saying that will only agree with what the people will go to those websites because they want to hear their own views validated. Don't waste your time going to my website if all you want is your own views and your own opinions validated. You'll agree with me a lot of the times. You will not agree with me all of the time. But I promise you one thing. I'll give you my honest opinion, and I will never, ever pander to you just so that you'll come back for more. I hope you'll come back because you think I'm an honest journalist, but I won't pander to you If you want a place where people always agree with you, BernardGoldberg.com is the wrong place.
Yep, it's going to challenge you.
Yeah,
I think that's why I like it, because it's challenging, it's thought-provoking, and I appreciate it. Well, Bernie, thanks again for coming on here, and we'll have you back soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible, because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
That's one of my favorites. Dave, let's get that in a few times this week. It is Halloween, right? Thank you, Bob Hope. So we have Sue's News coming up, and also in the next hour, the Attorney General Eric Schmidt, who went down to the border last week. Frank Cusimano, we have a new manager, Ali Marmol, for the Cardinals. The National School Board Association sent a letter out last week. This is interesting. And they have apologized for their intimidation letter, which was picked up, and the Attorney General of this country, Merrick Garland, ran with it. And then people in, for example, my school district, in the Rockwood School District, the superintendent there decided to go before the board a couple of weeks ago and threaten parents. So here is the NSB members, two NSB members, NSB Board of Directors. As you all know, there has been extensive media and other attention around our letter to President Biden regarding threats and acts of violence against school board members. We wanted to write you to directly address this matter. On behalf of the NSBA, we regret and apologize for the letter. To be clear, the safety of school board members, other public school officials and educators and students is our top priority. And they go on. They say, since the last letter was sent, we deeply value not only the work of local school boards, but also the voices of parents. So they backed off quite a bit. So I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to get an apology from Dr. Tim Ricker at Rockwood, who went up before the board in my school district a couple of weeks ago and gave the FBI tip line and basically intimidated parents. So I sent a letter and I said, hey, I sent him a copy of the statement. I said, maybe you should apologize. Well, he's out of the office today, but Mary Lepak, who is the executive director of communications, answered. And she said this, Mr. Reardon, thank you for your email. That made me laugh. Dr. Ricker is not issuing an apology or retraction of his remarks at the board meeting on October 7th. Rockwood is not a member of the National School Boards Association. The comments Dr. Ricker shared that evening followed a Department of Justice memo, I'm aware of that, directing federal officials to meet with state and local law enforcement leaders to discuss strategies for addressing an increase in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school board members, teachers, and workers in America's public schools. He felt it was appropriate, it wasn't, to share excerpts from the memo given the actual events of the last 2 years. So I sent this back to Dr. Ricker and to Mary. I said, but again, for clarification, people are supposed to call the FBI, right? I mean, I just need that on the record. And I had some follow-up questions for the Rockwood School District. Number one, what is considered harassment? What's considered harassment? They don't want harassment. Is hurting someone's feelings and raising their voice, is that harassment? Are we going to criminalize that?
Is.
Right, right. Did someone's feelings get hurt at the school board meeting? Gosh, we'll get involved. What is considered a threat? And by the way, I want it on the record, and I have been for months, that if you are an idiot that is doing something criminally negligent, or if you do something that assaults someone and is against the law, I hope they throw your ass in jail. I'm not going to defend that. But a parent having an emotional response to indoctrination in their school district, man, that's still allowed in this country, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the third question I have. And this one I think is the most important question for the Rockwood School District. What is considered intimidation? Mary Lepak used the word intimidation in her email. So I said, what is considered intimidation? And is that an answer that is covered in Dr. Ricker threatening parents and giving out the FBI hotline number? Because I think we should know that. I also asked, have there been any incidents that qualify under these statements? Has local law enforcement been called? Have there been incident reports with local law enforcement? I mean, my original email to Dr. Ricker was, look, my car was stolen today. This was a week and a half ago. And you want the FBI and law enforcement to get involved with parents? That's way off base, dude, and I think you should apologize because it's embarrassing.
That's all right. Tie your mother down.
Yeah, yeah.
Tie your mother down.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.